bus lanes could be about to get busier from Monday. The Department of Infrastructure is starting a 12-week trial to allow Class A taxis into the lanes along the rapid transit route. Fair move, or just another blow to the everyday motorist? Taxi driver Ken Kelly with us today. Morning to you, Ken.
Morning, Stephen.
Good
How are you?
Good morning. The journalist Malachy we're talking to. Malachy, good morning to you.
Morning, Stephen. Morning, Ken.
So now the taxis will be allowed into them too, Malachy.
Well, I think it's a bad decision. I mean, no harm to Ken. I'm sure he's a decent man and wants to make a good living as a taxi driver. A lot of taxi drivers are a hazard to cyclists already. I'm sure he's not one of them. But, I mean, certainly if you're riding a bicycle out and around Belfast, you know, the car that is most likely to brush against your leg is going to be a taxi, and I think other cyclists would agree with me on that. I think the point of a bus lane is to discourage people from using the car and to use public transport. So to open it to a car, which a taxi, is just a contradiction of the whole agenda. I mean, it's an apt thing to do. And the taxi will be the fastest vehicle on the bus lane. So we're introducing a new hazard to cyclists. Cyclists and buses get on well enough on bus lanes because they tend to move along at roughly the same speed, you know, whereas a taxi will be moving faster and they will be a hazard to cyclists. So I think this is a really bad idea, and I wish somebody had rethought it.
Ken?
Well, a couple of things there I would question. First of all, I wouldn't want to offend the cycling mafia, but certainly cyclists coming down the Armour Road in the bus lane, the proper ones with the lycra on aren't doing the speed limit. In fact, they're much more in excess of it, exceeding it rather, and would break your leg if you step in front of them. But setting that to one side, Malachy raised a good point there. He used the term public transport. Considering that 40% of all people in Belfast don't have access to cars, is taxis part of the public transport system? That question needs to be answered. Secondly, the fact of the matter is, between, say, 7 o'clock in the morning and 10:30, nobody uses a taxi for pleasure. They're using it because they need to go to hospital, doctor, and not crying out that we're an ambulance service. Or they are using the taxi to go to a hub.
Yeah, but what if the ordinary...
and airport.
What if the ordinary motorist is going to the hospital?
But then again,
and is bringing, you know, their wife, their husband, their relative, their friend to the hospital. The ordinary motorist can and do all the services that you do.
Yes, the difference is, as a part of the public transport system, which I believe we should be, we are doing it on. We are open to everybody to use, and the purpose of it is, if your mother is living at the top of a street with 100 houses,
yes,
with her free bus pass, can't come and use the bus to go to the hospital, to go down to the meter, she'll use a taxi to go to the meter. Why should she not be avail of that part of the public?
Because she might have a car, and she might be driving to the meter, and she might be paying, and she might be paying a lot of tax. And now what we've got is we've got buses going down bus lanes, we've got taxis going down bus lanes, and now it's all the only person now deprived of being able to use the whole road as the motorist.
But that comes down to the key point. Are taxis, as with every other major city, such as Dublin, Manchester, London, are taxis part of the public transport system?
What does that mean? You want taxis to be given special favour by the state or subsidised by the state? What exactly do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that they're open to all, that they will pick up anybody and move them around. They're not using up parking spaces in the town. They're not sitting, for example, they're not like a civil servant going to work. Civil servant going to work getting a subsidised car park and blocking the city up.
But the object of the transport policy is to reduce car use in the city, and a taxi is a car. Now, the taxi is going to be moving around all the time, you know, so in a sense, I mean, if I drive into town in my car, which I do occasionally, and park it somewhere, then that's a car that's going to be dormant and not causing congestion for most of its time. The taxi is going to be whizzing around all over the place all the time and is a virtual engine of congestion. And so you know, the taxi has to be factored into the transport policy. You know, if you seriously want to reduce car use, then you have to reduce taxi use as well. I mean, it's as simple as that.
So, Ken,
by the way, whether I have you, where did you get this notion of a cycling mafia?
Goodness, if you offend them, they're on you like a ton of bricks. I mean, if they're coming down the road with no lights, why do cyclists dress in black lycra?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm asking you.
My question is, they dress in the dark, and they go out in the dark with no fluorescent. Yes, there are one or two are lit up well, but they don't help themselves. And Malaga, the amount of people that are not cyclists, they're people who jump on bicycles and ride around Belfast with neither lights, mudguards, headgear or anything else. What about a few bylaws as they do? We talk all the time about Amsterdam. What about a few more laws where in Amsterdam you don't get off your bike and push through a walking area? You get a fine.
Okay, absolutely. I mean, I have no problem with that. I certainly think anyone who's going out with dark clothing and no reflectors is a hazard to themselves and others. I am on your side absolutely on that. There's problems about legalising the helmet, because what it does is it reduces bicycle use. And, I mean, you notice the Belfast bikes that are for hire, there's no helmets provided for them, so most of the people you would
have seen I think helmets should be compulsory.
I disagree with you on that. And there are a lot of other things that you're saying about cyclists using the road responsibly, obeying the highway code, even being insured. You know, I'm absolutely supportive of that. But I am not supportive of the idea of developing a schizophrenic transport policy that opens up the bus lane to the cyclist and then puts taxis on the same bus lane. I think that's lunacy.
What is a Class A taxi, by the way?
A Class A taxi, there are four types of taxi, A, B, C, and D. A is private hire, what would have been known as the private hire. B is public hire, i.e. you can hail them. I'll give you an example, Stephen.
So it's the private hire taxis?
That's correct. The two main companies now can use them.
But so like, these private... Hold on a second. Hold on one second, just so I understand this. So private sector companies, these private enterprises, right? They're being given exclusive access to publicly paid for bus lanes.
Okay.
So the public pay for the roads, and a private company, we're really talking here, like, let's spit it out, right? We're talking here about value cabs and phono cabs, right?
Go ahead.
So the public are paying for the roads and the infrastructure. The tax-paying motorist driving down that road is not allowed onto the bus lane, but the private profiteering company...
Who don't contribute to the cost of the road.
Sorry?
You're saying Valley and Fona pay no tax towards this road?
Well, of course they pay tax, but the individuals...
The substantial taxes from the drivers...
But the individuals... But the motorists who pay tax too, they're excluded. I'm trying to understand the difference between one vehicle that is owned by Fona Cab or Value Cabs...
Or myself.
And another vehicle which is owned by... the nurse who's driving to work that morning.
I'm arguing that I see where you're going with that.
What's the difference?
A good question. The question is, the answer would be this here. I don't own the bus company. The bus company could be argued as a private company. It received public subsidies.
But how does it...
have paid for those bus lanes for a private company to go up and down.
But I guess the whole point of this policy is to enable traffic flow, right? And keep our traffic moving. What is the difference in a value cab? I don't know. What do they drive? So let's just take a car. A value cab Skoda, a value cab Mercedes. What is the difference from that one vehicle driving down a bus lane and the nurse, the doctor, the police officer, the teacher, who are not allowed in that bus lane, who are in the exact same car?
Because the argument
the difference?
That if they go down part of that lane, drop a passenger, they can then go on to the next job, and they're being used several times within the hour as opposed to one individual using the car for a sole purpose. In other words...
That one journey is the same purpose.
Correct. If we're going to get a pair of trousers from your mother for you. If you remember that incident, I had the conversation I had with you.
The differentiation here, Malachy, is public transport v. private. Yes.
Well, I think that's an absolutely vital point you're raising, yeah. I mean, what we are getting, and I hadn't thought of it myself, is you're getting the privileging of private companies. And, I mean, the fact is that, I mean, the taxi that is on the road is not equivalent to the nurse driving to work, because the nurse driving to work is driving to work, putting the car in the hospital car park, and is staying there all day, and it's no nuisance to anybody. The taxi is going to be a nuisance all the time, because it's going to be moving around all day long. And therefore, the taxi is the one you want to be more wary of, that you want to restrain further. But I also think, you know, if you think through what transport policy is, you say it's about improving the flow of traffic. It's actually not. It's actually about restraining the flow of traffic. It's about reducing congestion. It's about making a healthier city by reducing emissions. It's about encouraging people to stop using cars and using public transport or bicycles. That's what the policy is. And therefore, you know, it's not in line with that policy to open up the bus lanes to any kind of car at all.
Well, let's start.
Let's bring in John in Belfast. Morning. Hold on. Let's bring in some of our callers. Morning, John.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Cyclist. I think if cyclists start getting taxed and insured, maybe then they could have a say on what happens on the road. Well, people on there, he's complaining about taxis. He wants to put people out of work now because most of their jobs and most of their work comes from the city centre. He wants to put them off the road, so he does. They spend more time driving on the curb than they do on the roads anyway, so why do they need their own lane in the first place?
Well, A, I don't want to put taxi drivers out of work.
You don't want taxis on the road.
Ken's a taxi driver. He's a busy man. He's making a living, and that's a great thing.
Well, he'll not make a living. You want him to make?
Well,
you
I don't want him on the bicycle lane. I wouldn't want him on the bus lane.
Tell me this: can Uber drivers drive down that?
No,
bus lane.
They're C-class.
So, what is the difference between an Uber driver who's taking these passengers all over the place and value cabs?
This is called the DRD.
No, what is the logic behind this policy?
Why can you hail a taxi, any taxi, at 1 o'clock in the morning, Friday and Saturday night, but not 1 o'clock in the day? I can't be hailed at 1 o'clock. But this is a Friday. I can't be hailed at 1 o'clock.
Hold on a minute. We're talking about
DRD wrote the rules.
Yeah, and I'm trying to understand the logic, the coherent logic behind these rules. So let's take 8 o'clock in the morning. Let's take 8 a.m. in the morning, for example, when there is substantial traffic and there are very valid arguments for having public transport bus lanes, and those are well rehearsed. So at 8 a.m. in the morning, a Mercedes E-Class taxi, very popular with taxi drivers, okay? Nice car. It's driving down the bus lane at 8 a.m. in the morning, and it's taking someone to the Royal Victoria Hospital, and it's driving down the Ormo Road. Meanwhile, that same vehicle with same emissions is an Uber driver, and it's taking someone to an urgent appointment at the doctor. They're not allowed onto the bus lane.
I cannot.
Here's another part of the
They're not allowed onto
DRD.
It. They're not allowed onto it. There's now a hierarchy of taxis created.
Yes,
within this pilot scheme by the Department of Infrastructure.
Taxis.
There's a hierarchy of taxis, which is nothing about size of vehicle. Hold on. It's nothing about size of vehicle. There's nothing in it about how many passengers that vehicle carries. In America, for example, there is priority given and lanes given if you have two or more passengers. There's nothing of this in this Department of Infrastructure 12-week trial. It's just if you happen to have a certain type of taxi license.
Stephen, 2 points.
How is that logical?
Can I make 2 points? One, if a bus goes down the bus lane, a 30-seater, and it's got 8 passengers taking them to school, I do school runs in the morning. He's allowed down the bus lane. I take 8 children to school every morning in a bus lane. Why should I be excluded?
You should be excluded because you're a threat to me and my bike. That's why.
And one thing, Malachy, I'll say to you, a taxi will not be the fastest thing in the bus lane. A motorbike is, my friend.
Right. Peter next. Morning, Peter.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead, Peter. Thanks for calling.
Quite simply, I'm not a cyclist. I've been driving for 40 years, and I'm not making any comment on Ken's standard of driving, and I've come across many good taxi drivers. But he made a comment about getting people to hospital. And I know I'm digressing a little bit. the standard of a significant proportion of taxi drivers in this country. Their driving standards are abominable. They think they own the road. I've been tailgated by them, cut off at junctions when they're doing U-turns in the middle of the road. And some of them, I stress, are a definite hazard on the road. And I really do take issue with the attitude that they think they own the road. I'm not saying they're bad. They're all bad. I've got taxis many times, but I have, say, driven for 40 years, and I have observed some dangerous driving by some taxi drivers. So I sympathise with Malachi. And by the way, you need an act of Parliament to put a bicycle off the road. It was there before motor vehicles. And I'm not a pro-cyclist fan.
Thank you very much for that.
It says here, I'm just looking at some of the detail here. It says here the trial relates to Class A taxis.
Yes. A.
And any of the remaining taxis still licensed as private car.
Yes.
And public car outside of Belfast.
Yes.
Both Class B and Class D taxis are already permitted to use all bus lanes. Class B taxis are wheelchair accessible taxis and are mostly former Belfast public car taxis.
D taxis are taxi buses, i.e.
That's right.
The Falls Road ones.
So what's excluded?
C class.
And what's C class?
C class was the class that they intended to be used for funeral cars and wedding cars.
That's so all taxis are allowed on the bus lanes then? You're talking nonsense.
No, but Uber uses, but you asked...
Oh, Uber or C? Sorry, Uber or C, are they?
Uber or C class.
My fault, you're not talking nonsense then, I am. So Uber aren't allowed on?
Not their C class cars.
Right.
What happened was, if C class taxis do not have meters or signs, A, B... do have meters, must have meters and signs. It's a minefield, Stephen. Absolute minefield.
There's a hierarchy of taxis.
Yes, but there always was. This is a throwback.
And then the motorist, of course, then in that hierarchy of taxis, the motorist is at the very bottom of the pile.
Yes, because there's the debate that major cities class taxis as a part of the public transport system. That's the key here.
Barry in Belfast. Morning, Barry.
Good morning, Stephen.
If he goes to London...
Hold on, Ken. Go on, Barry.
I want to try and put a bit of common sense into the whole thing.
Well, we need to get your phone improved. We'll see if we can come back to you. Mr. McDowell, good morning to you.
Hello, Stephen.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to know, Stephen, if the taxis would be allowed to pick up and drop off while they're in the bus lane. Surely that would hold everything back.
As does the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they're allowed to drive down it, then they're allowed to be on it. So, yes, they're allowed to pull in.
As does a bus for 30 passengers.
Well, surely that would hold it up more. Buses getting into town, you know.
Well, a bus stops for... if you're 30 at a bus stop, I don't see the point of your argument, sorry.
Okay.
If the bus pulls in for 30 passengers and everybody takes a seconds to get in, where a taxi can only a maximum of eight passengers.
Right, all Barry in Belfast. Go ahead, Barry.
Stephen, I just want to put a bit of common sense into the whole thing. Just bring it back to the bare essentials. Everybody knows the traffic in Belfast is wild. It is absolutely wild at times. Now, if you allow the private hire taxi company...
Are you on a car phone?
No, I'm not. I'm on my mobile.
I can't hear you. Carry on.
If you allow the private hire taxis, value cabin, phone a cab, into the bus lanes, which is exactly the right thing to do, you're taking 600 cars out of the congestion. That makes it easier for us to earn a living. It also makes it easier for the doctors and nurses and people like yourself, because there's less congestion.
But if you apply the same logic, if you allow all motorists to use both bus lanes, then doesn't that... both lanes on a road...
Well, Stephen, the bus lanes are so empty that they should be used for something anyway, apart from buses. At least this is doing something to relieve the congestion. You know, and I don't understand. Malachy is just... he must be paid this morning to come on and talk glib, because I couldn't understand.
Malachy, I'll share the money with you.
Let's let Malachy respond to that. Go on, Malachy.
I'm paid. I mean, the Nolan Show pays me a fee if they bring me on. But, I mean, the transport policy is to promote the use of cycling in the city. And not just to promote it, but to massively expand it.
To promote public transport.
Yes, and public transport is buses.
Which includes taxis.
Well, if I can finish my point, you've got a space in which the public transport, meaning the bus and the bicycle, can exist side by side comfortably on bus lanes.
As does the motorbike, and now the private hire taxi.
Well, I don't ever see motorbikes on them, but I mean, I don't want private hire taxis on them because I share the vision of a city which has a huge number of bicycles moving through it. I want to see rivers of bicycles going down the Armour Road in the morning.
And good news is, Malachy, the Armour Road is not included in this test.
Okay, well, when any other road as well, but thank you for that clarification. But, I mean, for instance, last year I was at a conference with Danny Kennedy when he was DRD or whatever it was.
Oh,
I mean, they were looking at how cycling had been developed in Copenhagen and other cities and showing the whole thing is bigger than the movement of transport. It's about health and it's about the environment as well. And that means that you not only just facilitate cycling, you actively promote and encourage cycling and try to expand it. And you have to clear space for cyclists if you're going to do that, and that means keeping cars off bus lanes and cycle lanes.
Right, okay, Malachy. I suppose we could all become vegetarians and not wear a leather.
Well, take it up with the government if you disagree with their policy. I didn't invent the policy. I do happen to agree with it, but it's not me that's out of the placard saying, wear sandals and be a vegetarian.
The policy is that the public transport, our taxi's part of the public transport.
Okay,
system.
Sean.
And the answer is yes.
Morning, Sean.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Sean.
Stephen, just a few points here. I've been listening in. One, can't keep saying it's public transport. Private hire taxis are not public transport. The dedicated public hire taxi is public transport. Furthermore, if you look at it realistically, within Belfast, there is 480 public hire taxis in Belfast. They don't be in Belfast at any one given time. Most drivers will not use the bus lanes unless they really have to, unless they have a client on board that needs to get somewhere quick. But can you imagine...
We all need to get somewhere quick.
No, Stephen, can you imagine what you will do if you open the bus lanes till 19,000 private hire taxis? 19,000. You're not talking miserable money or miserable numbers here. You're talking about 19,000 registered private hire taxis within Northern Ireland, which are going to be on the bus lanes. Now, is that not going to add to further congestion, not only for the buses and the cyclists, but for everybody else?
So what do you want to be able to do?
Leave it as it is.
Leave it as it is.
Private hire taxis cannot be hailed in the street. So there's no reason for them to use the inner lane.
That's not strictly true, Sean.
Public cars.
Tell the truth now. That's not strictly true.
No, you're okay, right? You're allowed to use it 12 hours a week from midnight to 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yep, that's a better idea, Sean.
You're also allowed to use bus lanes at midnight to 6 o'clock in the morning.